91X News.
It's minus 12 and cloudy at 4 o'clock. From the QNET Newsroom, good afternoon. I'm Cody Starr. Dolores O'Riordan, lead singer of the wildly popular 90s band The Cranberries, has died suddenly. ABC's Jason Nathanson has the story.
Dolores O'Riordan's distinctive Irish voice was the signature calling card of The Cranberries. Their songs blanketed the radio in the mid-90s. The group sold over 40 million records worldwide. O'Riordan talked to us in 2012 about the band's appeal.
You know, songs about life, songs about love, songs about death, birth, all these things that every human being encounters on the journey.
The Cranberries' last release was an acoustic album in 2017. A tour last year was canceled because of O'Riordan's unspecified health issues. No immediate word on the cause of death. Dolores O'Riordan was 46. Jason Nathanson, ABC News, Hollywood.
Toronto police say a suspected hate crime reported by an 11-year-old girl who claimed her hijab was cut by a scissor-wielding man did not, in fact, happen. The alleged incident was reported last Friday and made international headlines. A Canadian Muslim organization says it is concerned others may now hesitate to report hate crimes for fear of not being believed. Shafan Khuldri is a spokesman for the Ahmadiyya Muslims Jamaata Canada.
Our thoughts are with those victims or future victims who may feel that they can't come forth because people may not believe them as a result of this.
Provincial police say a house fire that killed two people last week in Brighton, Ontario, is now being investigated as a homicide. Police say the home was engulfed in flames when the Brighton Fire Department responded Wednesday morning. They say the building was significantly damaged and investigators located the bodies of two adults. They have been identified as 62-year-old Louise Earle and 67-year-old Wayne Earle, both of Brighton. OPP say the investigation continues with the assistance of the Office of the Fire Marshal and the local fire department, but say there is no public safety concern at this time. They say more information will be provided as it becomes available. President Donald Trump says the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream of a colorblind society is the American dream. Trump dedicated his weekly address to King, the civil rights leader who was assassinated 50 years ago in April. He is marking his first King holiday in office, buffeted by claims that he has used vulgarity to describe African countries and questioned the need to allow more Haitians into the U.S. Meanwhile, before taking the microphone to speak at a Martin Luther King Day event in New York, Reverend Al Sharpton led the crowd in a protest chant. Here is the sound of that chant.
No justice!
No peace!
No justice!
No peace!
No justice!
No peace!
No justice!
No peace!
What do we want?
Justice!
What do we want?
Justice!
What do we want?
Justice!
When do we want it?
Yeah.
When do we want it?
Yeah.
When do we want it?
U.S. Democratic Senator Dick Durbin maintains that President Donald Trump did use vulgar language in his discussion about a compromise on immigration, while some Republicans who were in the room are altering their story. Lena Zak has more.
I know what happened. I stand behind every word that I said.
Senator Dick Durbin was the only Democrat in the room when the president is alleged to have used a profane term when questioning why the United States should permit more immigrants from Haiti and Africa.
I'm focused on one thing, not that meeting, but on making sure that those who are being protected by DACA and eligible for the DREAM Act have a future in America.
Two Republican senators who said initially they couldn't recall the tough language the president used are now denying those comments. Lana Zak, ABC News, Washington.
The U.S. is beefing up its presence around the Korean Peninsula. The move comes after Washington agreed to postpone massive and annual military maneuvers with South Korea until after the Winter Olympic Games. North Korea says the U.S. is trying to put a chill on its renewed talks with Seoul. Charles de la Sedma has more.
Last week, the Pacific Air Forces announced that three B-2 Spirit stealth bombers with approximately 200 personnel had been deployed from Whiteman Air Force Base in Missouri to the Pacific island of Guam. The statement said the deployment is intended to provide leaders with deterrent options to maintain regional stability. The bombers could figure largely in a U.S. response to any military emergencies during the games, while North Korea may view them as a more imminent threat. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Cleanup and recovery efforts remain underway in Montecito, California, after last week's mudslides that killed at least 20 people. Four people are still missing, 65 homes were destroyed, and hundreds more were damaged. Alex Stone has more.
Teams have now transitioned from search and rescue mode to search and recovery, meaning they no longer expect to find any survivors. Over 2,000 people are working on efforts in Montecito, from search and recovery to clearing mud and debris, and still Highway 101 remains closed. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Hawaiians are still angry about Saturday's mistaken alert warning them of an incoming missile strike. It took 38 minutes for officials to send out a second mass text message informing the people of the mistake. Jim Avila reports the veteran Hawaiian technician who pushed the wrong button, causing a statewide panic, has now been reassigned.
He's no longer allowed in the control room with the alert computers or that big button. He's undergoing retraining, and from now on, it will take two buttons and two people to send that island-wide alert.
A U.S. Army hero dog during the Second World War has received a posthumous medal. Charles de Ledesma has the story.
Chips, a German Shepherd Husky cross who'd attacked an armed unit during a 1943 beach landing in Sicily, has been awarded the Dickin Medal. According to soldiers, Chips raced headlong into the Italian machine gun nest, attacking an enemy soldier and pulling the gun from its mount. The medal, Britain's highest honour for animal bravery, was awarded by veterinary charity PDSA in a ceremony at the Churchill War Rooms in London. The honour was accepted by 76-year-old John Wren of Long Island, whose father donated Chips to the war effort. Charles de Ledesma, London.
That's QNET News on 91X to 407. Sports is next.
Make your resolution stick this year with you and Weight Loss Studios. For the month of January only, get 60% off all weight loss programs. You and Weight Loss Studios one-on-one health coaching, real grocery store foods, and natural products make it easy to look and feel better. Ewan's friendly staff are there to coach, educate, and keep you motivated through your weight loss program so you can reach your goal. Book a free consultation today, 613-779-7373. UN Weight Loss Studio, Hilden Square, Sydney Street, Belleville.
Now in sports. The Jacksonville Jaguars are heading to the AFC Championship game. Rookie running back Leonardo Fortune ran for 109 yards and three touchdowns as the Jaguars stunned the Pittsburgh Steelers 45-42. Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger told reporters that he takes the blame for the loss.
I mean, obviously, if you don't win the Super Bowl, you've underachieved, right? Because that's always our goal. It wasn't our day. It wasn't our year. I will give praise to the man upstairs, to God, not only in victory but in defeat, because what an awesome season it's been. We fall short, obviously, because we don't win at all, but it's been a lot of fun with these guys.
Kevin Glenn's trek through the CFL is now complete. The veteran quarterback signed with the Edmonton Eskimos on Monday. Prior to the move, the Eskimos were the lone team not to hold Glenn's rights over his 17-year CFL career. The 38-year-old Detroit native spent the last season with Saskatchewan, passing for 4,038 yards and 25 touchdowns in leading the Rough Riders to an East Division final. Glenn is expected to provide depth at quarterback behind incumbent Mike Riley, the CFL's outstanding player last season. Glenn has appeared in 268 career games and stands sixth in all-time passing yards with 294 career touchdowns against 207 interceptions. The Toronto Blue Jays will make Rogers Centre safer this season. The team will replace and expand the protective netting at the facility. The new netting will extend to the outfield end of each dugout, while the existing netting behind home plate will be replaced and increased in height by about 3 meters. The Montreal Canadiens say center Philip Danault has concussion-like symptoms after being struck on the head by a puck. The 24-year-old was hit by a Zdeno Chara slap shot in Boston's 4-3 shootout win Saturday night. Montreal also said forward Andrew Shaw is out indefinitely with a lower body injury. Three Canadians see action at the Australian Open tomorrow. Milos Raonic plays his first tournament match against Slovakian Lukas Lako. Toronto's Peter Polansky faces Russian Karen Kakrow, while Eugenie Bouchard of Westmount, Quebec, takes on France's Ossian Dodin. In the NHL, only one Canadian team is in action tonight as the New York Islanders face off against the Montreal Canadiens at 7:30. Other games in the NHL included the Stars versus the Bruins, who played at 1, with the final score being a 3-1 win for the Dallas Stars in overtime. The Avalanche lead the Ducks 1-0 at the end of the first, and the Sharks have just dropped the puck against the Kings. In the NBA, the Raptors took on the Philadelphia 76ers this afternoon, leading to a score of 117-111 for a 76ers win. In local sports, tonight, the Markham Royals face off against the Coburg Cougars at 7. Now, in weather, the forecast for Belleville tonight will see periods of snow with a temperature sitting near minus 8. At 4:11, it's minus 12. QNET News on air on 91X and online at qnetnews.ca. Remember to follow us on Twitter and to like us on Facebook. I'm Cody Starr. QNET News on 91X next at 5.